Can we practice our scary noises?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're in a place right now where you might be embarrassed if deadly, ghoulishly bad noises come from your speakers,
yeah,
turn the volume down right now. Mm-hmm. Like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jake! Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Woo, hello.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast, the podcast for people who are drinking wine at 8:32 p.m.
Yes, we figured we would have a nighttime session for our spooky stories. So cheers.
Cheers. That was a really... Wait, that was a terrible... Hold on.
Glasses are very full. We should chug.
I am Bethany. This is Kathleen.
Hello.
And you may be wondering, where is Sam?
She got very scared.
Yeah, well, so we all know that this is not Sam's favorite episode, the scary stories. And it's sort of aligned with the fact that Sam has a gajillion things going on in her life right now. So we're letting Sam gracefully bow out.
Yes, she was here and she started reading all the crazy stories that everybody sent in. She's like, guys, I can't handle it. And we were like, yeah, that is fine.
Yes. If you need proof, listen back to previous scary story episodes where all Sam does is scream and protest. So, so we're going to do what we promised, and it's come to be our favorite episode every year.
We had so many amazing submissions this year of seriously scary stories. I had to take breaks while I was editing them.
And are these like real stories? We asked for real stories.
These are real stories.
Amazing.
And if they're not real stories, we have some authors listening to us right now.
I'm excited.
And they all deserve book deals.
Okay, can we really, before we get into scary stories, can we talk for a little second about what happened last night, Kathleen, on the telephone?
We called tech support.
So we're working with a new computer, a newer version of a computer, and so it has different plugins than what we normally use. It's long and boring, but we needed advice, and so we called this company called Sweetwater. They're not a sponsor. They're not paying for this, but I've used them before, and they have amazing tech support. So we were like, let's call.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any tech support on anymore because everyone had gone home, but they had this sales dude named Justin.
And the lady who picked up the phone, the operator, she's like, someone from sales might be able to help you. Like, there's some smart people up there.
Yeah, so she hooks us up with Justin. And Justin is afflicted with a hot voice.
He sounded like a total DILF, because that's like the type of man I'm attracted to.
And he was like being so patient, and he was laughing at my jokes, and I had him on speakerphone, and Kathleen was listening in, and as soon as he said his name and we realized that he had hot voice and that he was funny, Kathleen starts internet searching for him.
Oh, we found him.
We found him. She finds him on Facebook. We found who we thought was him, and it was a dude holding a cat. And I almost said into the phone, oh, I have a cat too.
Because it's National Cat Day.
Which would have proven that we were internet stalking him. It turned out to be a different Justin, but shout out to Hot Voice Justin.
Well, Bethany was trying to hang up with him, and I'm like, wait, Justin, are you single? And Bethany's like, okay, goodbye.
So we thoroughly terrified Hot Voice Justin.
But you have his email, so I think you should ask him on a date. Indiana's not that far.
So
I could do like a long date. There's this thing called Skype and phone sex, so you know it works.
So anyway, shout out to Hot Voice Justin, and for all your technology needs, go to Sweetwater. Again, they're not a sponsor. They're just super, super helpful.
It's just so refreshing when customer service is a hot guy on the other end.
Yeah, Hot Voice Justin. Shout out, dude. So we're going to get into some scary stories, but first,
we're so thankful to be working with Beachbody On Demand, because you know what I've paid for 3 times this week?
What?
Cancellation fees for my spin class. This is why I love Beachbody On Demand, because you can come home and there's all these amazing classes with all different fitness levels, because some days I'm feeling lazy, but I still want to get a little bit of my sweat on, and I can do it all right from my living room. And so much of it is just my own body weight.
Yeah. It's amazing how much just using your own body can be a source of tension.
Yeah. And you can and take resistance. You can take classes on your computer, on your tablet, on your TV. I love it on my Fire Stick. That's my go-to.
And it's great too if you're traveling or if you're really, really busy. Like this week has been insane for me, but I know that they have workouts that I can fit into my schedule and I don't have to drive or walk to a gym. I can just do it from my house.
Yes, I'm about to go into the 21-day fix again for the start of November.
Okay, awesome. And the cool thing about the 21-day fix, it's about 30 minutes for each workout. Mm-hmm. You can fit that into your schedule.
Yes.
For sure.
And sometimes I break it up.
Look at you. Mm-hmm. Look at you. 10, being 10, smart.
And 10. That's math.
That means 30. All right. Right now, you guys can get a special free trial membership, including Beachbody On Demand's new 14-day results plan, where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks when you text the word taste to 30 30 30. You're gonna get full access to the entire platform for free. That's all the workouts, the nutrition information, the results plan to get you super fast results and support totally free. So again, text the word taste, that's taste, to the number 30 30 30.
All right, I guess I should divvy up these stories now.
Yeah.
I put stars on all the good ones, and basically every single one has a star.
Kathleen was telling me about her system last night. She was like, so the good ones have stars, the okay ones don't have anything, and then the ones that are okay have circles. I'm like, what is this? What does this mean?
I don't know. Stars and circles, girlfriend.
Okay. All right.
So I think you should read that one first.
Okay. This is... Okay, first of all, get yourself into like a cozy... Like sort of like dim the lights, light some candles.
Put your Snuggie on. Be naked underneath your Snuggie.
Yeah.
Feels amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pour yourself a glass of wine like us right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're drinking from our official acquired taste wine glasses.
Yes. Thank you. I don't remember the name of the person who sent them, but she was amazing.
Her brother did them.
Oh, they're amazing. Yes. You know who you are. Thank you. Okay. Your candles are lit.
Bethany, I'm so scared.
Are your phone's on silent?
My phone's on silent.
Because you know that thing is going to ring in the middle of the story and it's going to scare you. And we don't want to scare you. We just want to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is from Amanda. I should start out by saying that my husband and mother-in-law see spirits, and they've had many experiences over the years. My introduction to my husband's gift came when we first started dating back in high school. We'd been on the phone chatting when all of a sudden he abruptly stopped talking. I coaxed him into telling what was wrong, and he proceeded to say, I think I walked into someone.
What?
I had no idea what the hell that meant. How can you not know if you walked into someone? He reluctantly told me that he had been turning the corner into his bathroom when all of a sudden the air got very dense and thick and his vision got hazy, almost what it would feel like being in a cloud or fog.
Can that happen?
Apparently it happened to her husband. Then he came through on the other side of whatever it was and it was clear again. Other weird things would happen, like hearing footsteps in his room when no one else was in it, or hearing music in the middle of the night that he couldn't quite tell what it was or where it was coming from, but it was very familiar. This would happen often enough that he would go crazy trying to find the source of the music. He would be convinced he had left his phone on, or a TV was on, or the neighbors left their window open while playing the radio. He was always proved wrong, checking every electronic he could find, open up the windows, he found nothing. Finally, he told his mom what was going on, and she told him, oh, that's how it started for me, too. Mom! He said he knew his mom saw things, but never knew to what extent. She says, I didn't learn this till much later. Okay, she goes on.
This is freaking!
Take a drink of your wine. Hold on, take a drink of your wine. Mmm.
Oh, that's a nice spicy Merlot.
I know. It's literally $3 Chuck.
Really?
That's Trader Joe's wine
there.
Yeah, $3.
Listen, my taste buds do not say no.
I mean, wine is wine.
To any wine.
At the end of the day. Later in college, he was living out in the dorms. He woke one night to a shadowy figure sitting on his desk chair next to his bed. He freaked out and attacked it with the only logical thing he had, his pillow. It faded away by the time he was about to go in for a second shot. In the moment, he'd been so sure that it was an intruder as his only roommate was in the room next door. On another night during summer break, he'd gone to stay at his mother's new townhouse near downtown Fort Lauderdale. It was a long three-story townhouse that had been newly built. He was staying on the second floor. He had just gone to sleep when he was suddenly woken by a sense of dread. He turned and saw a little girl, maybe 6, sitting in the pile of pillows, staring up in his direction on the floor next to the bed. This is when
Children.
Nope. Children. Real ones.
They're evil. Real ones, they're all evil.
They're so scary. I don't care if it's a real or fake 6-year-old. The sense of dread is equal.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to Amanda's story. He couldn't make out any features. She was mostly shadow, the worst kind of kid. He felt so uncomfortable that this time he decided flight versus fight was a better response, so he ran. He ran out of a room. Okay. So then, after graduating college, he and I moved into the same townhouse with his mom and stepdad, and it all got real. My husband had come home from a late shift at work around 2 a.m., and he came up and said hello to me as I always waited up for him. We slept on the third floor. Amanda's very specific about what floor she's on.
Do atmospheric temperatures affect ghost happenings?
I think maybe it does. He then proceeded to go back down to the first floor to grab something to eat. The townhouse was very skinny but deep. Sorry.
I was about to make a joke.
Me too.
Like that was my high school boyfriend, but that's inappropriate. Okay, inappropriate. It's inappropriate. The wine talking.
Leaving the bottom stairs put you right into the kitchen. Walking the length of the kitchen would lead you into the family room with an open floor plan. Oh my God. Okay, Amanda, I love you. Get to the point, Amanda. Now we know the floor plan.
I might be too generous of an editor.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick skim. Okay. Okay, so then he was moving through the floor plan of the house. He heard the big leather couch in the living room start to crinkle under the weight of what sounded like someone who'd been lying down starting to sit up. My husband thought nothing of it and didn't bother to look up. His stepfather was a notorious fall asleep on the couch reading sort of guy. Everyone's stepfather is that way. Shout out to Jim.
That's also me.
Yeah. The wooden floorboards creaked for each footstep taken closer and closer to the kitchen. They finally stopped when my husband looked up. No one was there and no one had passed as they would have had to walk through the kitchen. He calmly finished heating up his food and came back to tell me someone is downstairs. At this point, I'd heard enough spooky stories to know what he meant. I immediately rushed down to check it out because he refused to come with me, but whoever had been there was long gone. The fact that her husband continued cooking is insane.
He kept heating up his food.
This is the thing that you will find in other scary stories is that people are like, my walls were bleeding and a man was hovering over my bed, so I went back to sleep.
Run away! Like, your beefaroni is not that important.
Burn your house down! Burn it down!
I mean, this is the problem with townhouses, because the only place you have to go when you're on the bottom floor is up.
Never go up!
Just leave your house! Run outside.
In the movie of your life, everyone yells at you and you run up. Stop!
That's right! There's nowhere to go!
Don't run up!
Unless you have a very secure fire escape.
Oh, no one does.
No one does.
All right. My last story is my mother-in-law's story. Still from Amanda, by the way.
Yeah.
She has had many experiences with ghosts, too many to count. This one is definitely the creepiest.
Yes.
She had been seeing this one particular spirit on multiple occasions. She would wake up in the middle of the night and he would be sitting at the edge of her bed or standing next to her. Boundary issues, ghost. Nothing threatening, but a bit annoying for her since it would obviously startle her every time.
Nothing threatening?
Nothing threatening. Just a dude standing on your bed. One night, she and her husband had a big fight downstairs. Lots of yelling, door slamming, leading to her husband to retreat to their bedroom upstairs while she remained downstairs to clean the kitchen and cool off. As she was coming to the end of her rage cleaning, she heard a
rage cleaning.
Guilty. She heard a big thud directly above her head. Their master bedroom was directly above the kitchen, as we know from the floor plan.
Yes, we do. I wonder if Amanda's an architect.
Amanda's floor plan based ghost story. Okay, so she went upstairs. Because she assumed her husband had fallen. He was over 6 feet. That would make the thud. She wanted to make sure he was okay. She found him white as a sheet, sitting up in the king-size four-poster bed. When she asked what had happened, all he could say was that the bed had moved. He was in bed about to fall asleep when the bed lifted up and fell back down. Sure enough, when she investigated, she saw the indents in the plush oriental rug where the bed used to be a good few inches where the bed was now.
Stop! That's not real!
That night, she woke up to find her ghostly acquaintance back, but this time he was not on her side of the bed as he usually was, but on her husband's side.
Oh, snap.
Oh, for the first time, she felt threatened and scared by him. He looked angry, staring down at her husband with clenched fists. She threw herself across her husband and yelled, "Don't touch him!
Don't!"
And the man faded away. Her husband woke severely confused. The next time she saw the spirit was a few nights later. He was sitting across the room on the love seat. She said he looked very agitated and had his arms and legs crossed, almost as if he was pouting like a child after being told no. She never saw him again.
The creepiest detail of that story to me is the indents of the bed poster on the carpet.
Yeah, the fact, because that's too heavy to carry yourself.
I mean, it was a king bed.
And she would have heard the dragging, not the thud.
That is, why does Amanda's mother-in-law not try to get to the bottom of this?
This blows my mind.
All right.
Amanda, well done. That's, well done, Amanda.
That's some crazy-ish.
take a chug of your wine.
Take a sugar ice
or whatever you're drinking.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ugh. Two buck chuck Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay. This one is special to me because it was written into our email address by my best friend. And I was like, Kristen, wait, I recognize that email. Why didn't you just tell me?
Yeah, she could have just like texted you.
Okay, so.
She's a rule follower.
Yes, thank you, Kristen. I appreciate it. She writes, hi, ladies. Love your podcast. And I would say that even if Kathleen wasn't my crazy BFF from college.
Aw, that's nice.
I put her through a lot.
Yeah.
These are a few stories about my 2.5-year-old nephew, Seamus.
Oh,
he
kids.
Has been freaking everybody out lately with some creepy stuff that he says. And we think he sees the dead.
Probably. He probably does. Why? Because he's a creepy kid.
He's a creepy kid. So I've met this child on multiple occasions because I'm sometimes at family parties at her house. Yeah. And he's adorable, but he is crazy.
On a level of 1-2 Danny Torrance from The Shining. Like, what is his level of crazy?
We call him the blonde Mowgli.
Oh, he's blonde. Like the Children of the Corn. Perfect.
Yes, Children of the Corn.
Okay.
Okay, so she says, recently my brother-in-law was driving with Seamus in the back. Seamus was playing with his locked iPhone and said great-grandma was on the phone and she wanted to say bye. So my brother-in-law played along, took the phone from his son and said, I love you, grandma. Goodbye. Seamus took the phone back and said, bye, great-grandma. A few hours later, we found out that she passed away.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
All right.
Seamus.
Here's another one. Seamus had everybody really freaked out when he kept waving into the living room during a family dinner. He was saying, hi, big guy, and asking people to come into the living room to say hi to the big guy. Later, when the dogs were staring out the window at something, I asked him if they were looking at the big guy. You know, you like tease children.
Playing along.
Seamus says, no, he's inside with us. We think that perhaps we were getting a visit from my father-in-law who passed away a few years before, and he was indeed a big guy at 6'4".
Oh, wow.
Okay, and this last one is quick, but this is the freakiest one. And this last one only happened a few days ago. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law were riding in the car with their son, Seamus, and in the back, he chirped up and told his parents, I'm having thoughts. 2.5.
I need to start saying that.
He's practicing for therapy.
I am. I'm having thoughts.
They asked him, oh, thoughts about what? And he responded, thoughts about the people in the house. And when they asked him what house, he looked out the window and pointed to the funeral home across the street and said, that house. Isn't that crazy?
How old is that kid?
He's 2.5.
Seamus.
I've met this kid.
Seamus, you a creepy kid.
Last time I saw that kid, he hit me over the head with a bat. That's why I don't have kids.
By the way, can we give a shout out to to our friend Seamus, who is embarking on his radio career?
Yes.
He was asking for his radio name, and I think his radio name needs to be Tesla McMahon.
Mm-mm.
No?
Periwinkle Cornflower.
Anyway, shout out to
Rainbow Starship.
Shout out to you, Seamus. All right, this is from Katie. Hey, spooky girlfriends. With the witching season upon us, I knew you three would appreciate this little tale of what happened to me tonight into this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. She says, well, Bethany will probably appreciate it the most. Sam might go home and throw away all her shoes. Kathleen will just be happy we're talking about shoes.
Yay, shoes.
Okay, Katie knows us. I had an early train this morning, so last night I tried on my outfit for today, including a pair of wedges that buckle around the ankle and laid them out. And as we all know, wedges are the tennis shoes of the high heel
they
world.
Are. And yes. Also, bravo for Katie for being so organized.
Yeah, never done that in my life. Later, lying in bed, I was chatting on the phone with a friend, and somehow we got on the topic of how last fall I was convinced I had a ghost in my apartment, but ultimately decided it was just the wind pushing and pulling my door open and closed. You're wrong. Mm. I started freaking myself out just talking about it, so we changed the subject. This morning, I go to get dressed, and one of the buckles on my shoes is fully buckle.
No.
And she put a period after fully and a period after buckle.
No, shoes don't buckle themselves.
And then Katie, because I love her, says, think for a second about the anatomy of closing a buckle and how many maneuvers are involved. Ain't no way the wind pulled that ish. My only solace right now is the fact that I won't be staying in my apartment for the next two nights. Hopefully by the time I get home, Casper will have a chance to cool his jets about the fact that I denied his existence and we can cohabitate in peace. Wait. Anyway, happy haunting season and remember to sage your wedges.
Yeah. I think Katie's being haunted by a pilgrim. You know, one, two, buckle my shoe.
They do love a buckle.
Three, four, close the door. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Kathleen.
I know. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. I appreciate a ghost that appreciates a shoe.
All right. This one comes from Cassidy. She writes, hey, y'all.
Hey.
This story is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster.
I have a really spooky story to tell you, and I'm 23 years old, and it is 100% true.
Okay.
But it took place when I was five.
Okay. I don't remember anything from being five, so shout out to you.
Well, it was a good year for me, so.
Did you peak at five?
I did peak at five.
It's been all
downhill. I won this race, and I got a medal, and my father was never proud of me like that ever again.
You really did peak at five.
I did peak at five.
Oh, Kathleen.
Okay. One evening, I woke up. And my birthday party was at Fuddruckers when I was five. So, yeah.
Oh,
there's,
my gosh.
There's no going. That was it. The ball pen was the ish.
And five is the last time you're not afraid of the urine in the ball pen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is kind of.
After that, you realize like, this is just urine.
When you're five and in kindergarten, you don't know.
The world's just a dream at that point.
Okay. One evening, I woke up in the middle of the night as I naturally wanted to go snuggle up in my mom's bed.
Totes.
I gathered up some stuffed animals and some pillows and made my way through the house to my mom's room, which totally was not out of the ordinary. I was just down the hall from her room when I dropped a few of my stuffed toys on the floor. I bent down to pick them up and a voice came out of nowhere. It was a voice deeper than anything you could ever imagine.
Ooh.
Oddly, I wasn't afraid though. I don't remember exactly what the voice was saying, but I do remember that it was giving me instructions on what I needed to do. I remember nodding my head in agreement, and this went on for about maybe 20 seconds or so, and after it stopped, I stood up and looked into my mom's room, and I could see a black silhouette sitting up in bed looking at me.
Oh, God!
I have no recollection on what happened after that.
What the hell? Wait, what were the instructions?
She doesn't remember what the instructions were. She just remembers the deep tone of the voice that she was hearing.
Wait, so that's the end of the story?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, short but sweet. I like
it. No, but not short but sweet because there's no ending.
I like it. It's like dark chocolate. Doesn't last me that long. Too tasty.
But wait, but this thing is telling her what to do and she sees a dark shadow looking at her, but that's all she remembers.
That's all she remembers.
Was it her mom? Was it dark shadow her mom?
She doesn't know.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, a voice deeper than you've ever heard before.
But that's not the point. The point is oh my gosh, that's horrifying.
Isn't that crazy? She needs to be hypnotized.
Yes.
Maybe she should come to Kitchen Studio NYC because I read this book once about hypnotism.
Yeah, from the 50s or the 70s.
Yeah.
I always want to say it's from the 50s.
Oh, Bethany.
What?
The story that you're about to read is insane.
Is this from Tiffany?
Insane in the Membrane. All right, time for wine.
Okay, hold on. Wait, my wine is empty. Hold on, I have to go fill it.
Oh, okay.
Tell us a secret.
Oh, wait. I have a little thing to tell you.
Oh.
Okay, let me tell you about this cemetery I was reading up on. Did a lot of research for this podcast. Step Cemetery is a small abandoned cemetery in Monroe State Forest in Indiana. Ooh. Indiana. That's where Hot Voice Justin works. Only a couple of dozen graves are there, going back like about 200 years. It is officially a local family cemetery, but legend has it that it was founded by a cult called the Crabites.
Rock and roll.
It sounds like a seafood beach shack.
Yeah.
whose rituals.
Like, it's like a Jimmy Buffett spinoff. It is.
Whose rituals include snake handling and sex orgies.
Oh, my favorite kind of orgies, the sex ones.
Those folk from Indiana, they're freaks. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's it?
Some reports say that you can still hear the chanting of their gatherings in the cemetery at night. However, people really can't find any references about the Crabites outside of the cemetery, which gives it urban legend status. Another story holds that a devoted mother stayed at the grave of her infant every day, even after the mother's death. And yet another story attributes the crying sounds heard to an old woman who put a curse on the cemetery after a fraternity group killed her dog and left its body there.
So she was the John Wick of her time.
I've never seen John Wick.
All you need to know about John Wick, I'm going to tell you the plot of John Wick.
Does he make candles?
No, he doesn't.
Disappointing.
No, I know. bad guys kill his dog.
Okay.
At the very beginning, spoiler okay. alert. Bad guys kill his dog, and so then he goes on a rampage and kills everyone in the group to avenge his dog.
Well, I would do that for my cat.
Legit. It's the best thing ever, and he's so good at it, and he's so handsome. And they also take his car, right? So he's mad about the car, but he's the most mad about his dog.
Yeah.
And then, like,
that's effed up.
Yeah, don't take his dog. And it's such a good movie because it's like, yeah, I would avenge my dog.
Yeah, I mean, anybody would avenge their pet.
I would hope so.
Their pet. Wait, who played John Wick?
My boyfriend, Keanu Reeves. How dare you?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You guys... is the nicest I've heard.
Yes.
He's the nicest I've heard.
Winona Ryder has a lot of very sweet things to say about him.
He's so great. And also, I was watching this video on YouTube about accents, and Keanu Reeves' accent in, it's not Frankenstein, this is a Dracula movie with Gary Oldman, is like notoriously terrible. It's such a horrible British accent. But the director said it was because he was working so hard on it that he was so in his head about it, and he wanted it to be perfect that he couldn't even do it because he was so focused on making it perfect that he got in his head. You guys, he loves too much.
Can we just go walk around Central Park and hope for a sighting?
Yes. Okay, this is the story from Tiffany.
Yes.
Tiffany. First, I will clarify by saying I don't find any of this nearly as terrifying as others seem to make it out to be, but it is absolutely completely true. I bought my condo in a small complex about 10 years ago, and ever since then have been teased by something playing games. I am blind with no light perception. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I still turn on the lights. I believe it's important for safety to have potential thieves outside know that there's someone home, and I have a seeing eye dog who, of course, uses light to function. Oh, that's amazing.
Hi,
okay.
Puppy.
Anyway, I generally stick to the same few lights because if they're located low like a lamp, I can always reach up to touch the bulb to see if I left it on or off. Generally, I don't even have much more use the ceiling lights because of being out of reach. Anyway, ever since the beginning of living here, one of my new friends would send me helpful texts as she walked past my unit to hers, reminding me that I left the ceiling light in the basement on again. This is one that, because of the location and never knowing if it's on or off, I try to leave it off and I don't even bother touching it. Why or how it keeps turning on, I don't know, but I simply turn it off when told and go on ignoring the bigger issue.
She's got good friends.
She has great friends and is really good at ignoring the bigger issue.
So am I.
Which is what we all do in our lives. Next, I will point out that I had a home phone line, but it got so much junk calls without my ever giving out the number that I unplugged the phone and just kept the line for purposes of internet and a burglar alarm. I've been interrupted multiple times to find a cop pounding on my front door. It happened at all times of the day and night, but not wanting to answer the door in the middle of the night, I called out the window from my bedroom. They stated my home phone number, saying that they got an emergency 911 call.
What?
I live alone. I just got chills.
Oh my God.
I was sleeping and I have no phone. Clearly,
what?
I was not making calls to the cops. I didn't want to let them in, so called the cops' non-emergency number to confirm that these men were in fact police and not impersonators.
Oh, very smart.
So smart. Never let a cop in unless you can confirm it's
no,
a cop.
No, and don't roll down your window if they pull you over.
You just gotta be careful. They confirmed it, their story about the call, but nobody could figure out why it kept happening. After several non-solicited visits from the police, I called my security alarm company, and they said that they did not call the police for me. In fact, the alarm was not even on record to be on at the time of the visits. Furthermore, if it were activated, they would not call 911. If the alarm is on and triggered, first they call my mobile, and if that doesn't answer, they call the non-emergency police line, who then sends someone out. This was not the case. They had not called anyone, much more had someone sent. Finally, I called the phone company. Remote tests of the line showed no problems, but when I explained the problems, they sent a man out to physically check my lines. He didn't see any issues, so when I inquired if any other units in the complex seemed to have any crossed lines, he rejected seeing any problems.
What?
I again explained what was happening with the cops always coming, threatening to start fining me for the number of visits. He got concerned, went back out, and rewired everything outside. The calls to 911 resumed. So since I couldn't make it stop, I got rid of the line. Work provides me with a mobile hotspot for my devices to get online. My security system has a cell connection, so it's supposed to be a backup, but I made it the default connection. The house was quiet for a while, but now the alarm is truly being activated. When the dog and I are at work, the alarm company calls my cell and tells me it's the motion sensor in the basement which is triggering it. But strangely, none of the windows or doors are noticing anything being opened. I have a theory. But we'll finish the story. Okay. The theory is terrifying. Oh. When I tell coworkers, friends, or family about what's going on, they totally overreact, as I've never once felt threatened. In fact, sometimes when I'm in the basement to do laundry, don't go in the basement!
The basement's where everything bad happens.
Don't go in the basement. When I go to do laundry, the dog is happily barking and snorting like she does when playing. I find the whole thing fascinating and even a bit humorous. I'm not frightened in the least and jokingly refer to it as my friendly poltergeist playing games again. Oh, my God,
there's
Tiffany.
There's no such thing as a friendly poltergeist.
No, there's not. Okay, this is...
She definitely has a spirit in her house.
I think she has a person in her house.
No.
Which is worse.
No.
I think she has a person in her house. I think...
But the dog would see the person.
Okay, I'm overreacting.
What if they use unscented detergent to wash their clothes?
What if the person is playing with a dog?
What?
She says the dog is playing when it goes downstairs. What if the person living in her basement is playing with the dog?
You know what? That's not preposterous.
I'm going to throw up.
When I was in college, somebody was telling me the story about how they had this basement. It was a two-family home. And you know, these houses that you rent in college, they're kind of like slummy, and off-campus housing. And there was a basement that you had to go outside the house to get to. So they would occasionally go down there to do laundry or whatever. In old houses, it typically wasn't connected to the main section of the house. And there's this bedroom down there with an old couch.
Ugh, just creepy alone.
They used to have parties down there, and it was just like a beer couch, you know, like something they probably picked up on the street and threw in the basement.
Yeah, like three people had died on it, but who knows?
There was a man that they didn't know living down there, and someone caught him sleeping on the couch, and he had like moved in. There was a ton of stuff.
It is so much worse than a ghost. The idea, like, you hear these stories every once in a while that like people will find there was a man living in their attic. There was a dude living in their basement. Like, this freaks me out so much. Like, Tiffany, you need to have a friend come over and thoroughly investigate your basement, because I do not like the fact that what else would be triggering it? Like, he doesn't leave, so that's why the windows and doors aren't doing anything. Like,
she definitely has somebody living in her house.
I don't want to freak you out, Tiffany, but like, I think you have someone living in your house.
Oh my, we need to go to her house, like, right now. We need to go with a bat.
Tiffany, call your friend right now. Don't go home. I don't want, like, I feel like I don't want to freak people out, and I don't want to obviously cause harm, but like, I would just, Tiffany, I would just take a few deep breaths and then have a friend come home with you and make sure no one's living in your house.
The scariest stories to me are the ones where people get home and there's been a break-in and the person is still there.
Yep.
But they don't realize that they're not in their house.
Yep.
The person is delusional and is like making a cup of tea or taking a shower or wearing their pajamas or something. Because how do you move on from that?
Yeah, you don't. The thing of like, someone is in the house, just like the call is coming from inside the house, gives me chills every time. It is the scariest thing. I will take a ghost any day of the week over a human living in my house.
They say that the best way to freak out a burglar is to get naked, because the burglar is so thrown off that you're just like, oh, shaky booby, shaky butt.
So I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, and they were talking about how this girl woke up and a dude had broken into their house. And I don't know how, like, she ran into him in the hallway. Like, they faced each other.
What?
And she somehow had the presence of mind to make the scariest, unearthliest noise she possibly could think of to scare him. She sees this stranger and she's just like, like, in the dark, and freaks out and runs away.
You guys can't see Bethany right now, but what's that movie where the girl comes out of the TV?
Oh, The Ring.
You're like The Ring. Your arms are rising up like an eagle, like you're about to take flight, and your fingers are curled under.
What else do you do?
Well, that's like when you out-crazy the crazy.
You gotta out-crazy the crazy.
I'm going to start practicing.
That's how I've gotten out of all of my relationships. Just how crazy the crazy.
And that is why you're totally sane.
Shout out to Hot Voice Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Should we do one more?
Yeah.
Do you want to do the last one? Yeah. Pick your fave.
Too many good ones.
I think we need to do a bonus ep.
Don't make me pick one more.
Wait, hold on. Let me just...
Wait, there's one from a dude named Justin.
This was one of my favorites that was submitted.
Love.
It makes a lot of sense. We're talking about a lot of Justins today.
Yeah, we are. What up? Hey, Justin. Justin's a hot boy name, by the way.
It is a hot boy name. Well, Justin Timberlake.
Yep.
Have you seen Justin Timberlake's face all over Instagram today?
No, why?
I think he just released a full album, like a record player album.
Oh, good for him.
A special edition, or maybe an oversized book. People have been holding, maybe people have been holding like this large thing, this square with Justin Timberlake's face on it on Instagram today.
Is it related to Man of the Woods or is it unrelated?
No, I think it's related to Man of the Woods.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Happy spooky seasons, lady.
And this also with you.
This story is from my mom when she was younger and it still gives her chills to this day. My mom and her family moved to Corona, Queens from Brooklyn when she was 9 years old. My mom was one of six children, so having her own room was definitely out of the question. She and her two sisters shared the front bedroom of the house. From the day they moved in, my mom started having night terrors. She would wake up screaming bloody murder almost every single night with the feeling that there were hands around her throat. And on top of that, every time she'd go back into the basement, the lights would flicker.
Ugh.
And she would feel hands touching her face and her back.
What the hell?
I would go to an orphanage.
I would burn the house down again.
Yes, I would too.
Get everyone out, burn it down.
After a year of staying in that bedroom, she switched bedrooms with her younger sister and all was fine. No more night terrors, but the creepy basement happenings continued. Did I mention that only my mother experienced this out of all of her siblings? Mm. 3 years later, after some family members moved in with them, my mom had to move back into that front bedroom, and the night terrors began again.
Wow.
This time, she could clearly see a man's face.
Oh, God.
It was so bad that she had to move out of the room again.
Oh,
in art class that year, my mom, who was a gifted artist, drew the man from her nightmares and gave the drawing to my grandmother, who hung it up on the fridge.
Great. That's a supportive grandmother.
Face your fears.
I have a friend whose father, she wanted to know who Osama bin Laden was. It's a long story.
Oh, shoot.
But her father was like, all right. So she went to bed that night. He found a picture and he tacked it above her bed.
No.
So when she woke up, it was the first thing she saw. Just traumatized her.
Oh.
We love our parents and grandparents.
The next week, their landlord came over to pick up the rent and stopped in her tracks. And she asked my grandmother, where did you get a picture of my husband? Apparently, he had died in the basement years earlier, and that front bedroom was his bedroom.
God.
My mom, oh my God, I'm so scared. My mom still gets goosebumps when telling this story. Hope you enjoy your day. Love you guys.
Justin. Holy Hannah, Justin.
That is not a coincidence.
No.
It's just, there's no way.
No, that I fully believe that these things are connected. Like, how would they know? How would Justin know? Or how would Justin's mom, or I don't remember.
Justin's mom.
But Justin's
how
mom.
Would Justin's mom know about the landlord's husband who died in that house?
Yeah, there's something going on. Oh, you guys are such talented writers, such talented storytellers. I need to believe all of these are true. Tiffany, bring a friend over and check out your basement, and please let us know if you're okay, because I'm real worried about you.
I wish we could just make this podcast 2 hours, because we have so many good ones.
I know. We absolutely need to do a bonus episode.
It makes me mad.
I know. Mad with happiness. should we say what we learned this week?
I didn't learn anything.
Okay, cool.
No, I did.
What'd you learn?
I learned this new technique for tie-dyeing.
Of course.
This
you
is
did.
What happens. You you leave a cardigan in the bottom of your purse in case you get chilly. Okay?
Okay.
Step one.
Okay.
Step two. Open a bag of M&Ms.
Okay.
But only eat half of them.
Okay.
And like you kind of twist it a little, whatever. They end up spilling in your purse.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't bother me. I eat hairy M&Ms out of the bottom of my bag all the time.
Delicious.
Yeah, I mean, like, I ate a cough drop from 7 years ago yesterday.
It's
so
fine. I dropped a banana on the ground in a public place, and I picked it up, and I absolutely ate it.
It's totally fine.
It's fine. Peel was off, by the way.
It makes you stronger.
It's great.
Peel was off.
The peel was off.
Bananas are the only fruit that don't need to be organic.
Really?
Yes, because the peel is so thick that pesticides are not going to get through.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, anything that you eat the skin, forget it.
Huh.
Yeah, strawberries, you know, you should probably buy organic, but
yeah.
I ain't a millionaire, so. Step three. Spill a beer in your purse. And say to yourself, I'll get that later.
Where were you when you spilled the beer?
I was at a concert in Central Park, and I had a bunch of wine, and somebody handed me a free beer, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to put this in my purse for later, except the beer was open. Yes.
Okay, so step one, cardigan in purse. Step two, half a bag of M&M's. Step three, spill a beer.
You spill a beer, and then the last step is to forget about it for 5 to 10 days. I don't remember how many days I left it in there. It's actually a very beautiful pattern.
Will you take a picture of it?
You know what? I already tossed it.
No!
I'm sorry. I hung it in the shower because I really wanted to let it dry out so I could wear it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's epic.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
Okay, mine's a little bit less fun. But I learned this week, it costs you nothing to be nice.
Oh.
So I am doing work on a film right now, which legally I literally cannot say what film it is, I don't think.
Wait, let me guess. Clueless 2.
It's not, although I have a lot of feelings about Clueless 2.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 3.
No. Havana Nights.
Dances with Wolves, the sequel.
Electric Boogaloo. No. No. No, so I'm working on a movie. It comes out next year. It's amazing. I'm just doing background. Like, it's just to get on a film set, and it's also to keep my SAG hours so I can keep my insurance. But there's a lot of us, and the 99% of the people are amazing, and I'm making friends, and it's amazing. But there are some people who are not nice, and there's no reason for it.
What's the reason not to be nice? You're on the set of a movie.
Yeah.
Hello.
And we're working with incredible people. We're working with huge names. Like, we're getting to watch a masterclass in acting every single day. Like, we're so lucky to be there. And there's a...
Is Betty White in the movie that
no,
you're filming?
No, but I wish.
Disappointing.
But these people, like, there's a handful of people who are just being so mean. And I think that it is in an attempt to like get ahead and climb and get noticed and whatever. But it just it doesn't serve any purpose. It's so much easier to be nice to people. It just no one's a threat. Like, yeah, you can all help each other. It costs nothing to be nice.
You know, I learned this lesson when I was an intern, and it's really stuck with me. My first internship, I worked for a small business owned by a woman. Mm-hmm. And it was the best time of my life. And she looked at me on the first day and she said, "No job is too big or too small."
Mm-hmm.
And then she handed me a mop and a bucket and asked me to clean the bathroom. But really,
yeah,
no job is too big or too small. And yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like being on this film set, like, my name isn't even going to be on the film. Like, that's how low on the totem pole I am, yeah, doing this job. But I'm so happy to be there because I'm on a film set,
yes,
and I'm watching these actors perform. And, you know, it's such an honor and such a privilege to,
yeah,
do it. And I just am sad for these people who feel like they have to be mean to get ahead. And I don't think you have to.
You know what? I want to throw them back to the olden days when they had to do apprenticeships to get ahead in your career.
Yes.
Those were thankless.
Those were the days when you had to put hot iron into water,
yeah,
over and over while you were making a sword for the Valyrians.
Coal in the fire.
Yeah.
And you were hammering nails into the bottom of shoes.
You were shoveling shoes into the coal mines of life.
If you were going to have an apprenticeship, what would you want it to be?
Librarianship.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to shelf books all day,
even before the Dewey Decimal System was invented.
Girl, Dewey Decimal is my safe word. What would your apprenticeship be?
Wait, oh my god, that was good. I needed that.
What would your apprenticeship be?
Mine would be the guy who worked at the printing press who had to form all the letters.
Yes,
you know, make the letters out of metal and then stick them in the printing press. Just because,
yep,
I love typeface so much.
You're so sexy.
I would make papyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Band.
Yeah.
The worst font ever.
And also the one that was used for Avatar.
Yes, it was. That's right.
Yeah.
They're getting a new logo.
It's just papyrus.
Who was the freaking graphic designer for Avatar? I mean, like, that movie cost like $3 billion to make. Yeah.
There was, did you see the SNL sketch about Avatar using papyrus?
I didn't.
I think it's Ryan Gosling, but it's just like,
it's the worst font.
Why did you use papyrus?
It makes me angry.
It's It's insane.
I want to punch a wall.
It's a sloppy typeface with a couple of things nicked out of every
it's
other side.
Ugly. And that in Comic Sans. No. Why?
If you use Comic Sans on your telephone, I'm not judging you, but I'm asking you to make another choice.
No, I'm judging you. Hardcore. Comic Sans is the mom jeans of font. But mom jeans are kind of back now, so maybe that's not such a good...
They're real cute.
It's not a good metaphor.
They're good for people like me with long torsos.
I like mom jeans. I'm wearing mom jeans right now.
I love a mom jean with a cropped ankle.
There's seven buttons on my jeans right now, and the top one is right at my sternum. It's like Spanx built into my jeans.
I love a 20-inch inseam. I need a 20-inch inseam.
Yes. Oh, good. This felt good. I think we should pour ourselves some more and then do a witch's dance. Oh, wait. Can I just mention, since this is our spooky episode?
Yeah.
On Netflix, there are two things that people need to watch.
And you just held up three fingers.
I did. Oh my God, the wine.
Keep going.
My cheeks are warm.
I love you.
have you seen any? I know you've been busy this week, but have you seen any of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
No, is this a remake of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
It is.
No, but I've heard good things. I've heard it's dark.
It is so dark and so good. And it's my fashion guru, Kiernan Shipka, because it's normal for a 32-year-old woman to look up to an 18-year-old girl.
Absolutely.
Her style's on point.
And her eyebrow game is fierce.
Yes. And the show is very woke. In the first, I'm telling you, first episode, she is she's standing up to bullies and fighting transphobia. And
great.
Yeah, like really amazing.
I love that.
That show is really, really good.
Okay.
And the second one is The Hill Haunted House. Hold on.
Oh, The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes, yes.
Wait, can I tell you something, Kathleen?
Yeah.
So do you remember when we had a meeting over here for the podcast and I made you and Sam watch The Haunting starring Owen Wilson and Catherine Zeta-Jones and what's his name?
Arguably Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
And Liam Neeson. I said Liam Neeson.
But both are good names.
Yes. Arguably one of the worst movies ever.
The same source material.
Okay, what?
So Eleanor, the character played by the great and good Lily Taylor, who we love.
Yes.
But was an annoying character.
Yeah.
Eleanor is the character in The Haunting of Hill House where in the first episode, something happens to her. It's the same characters. It's the same source material.
It is.
Yeah.
Except in The Haunting of Hill House, they're siblings.
Yes. Theo, the Catherine Zeta-Jones character, is the sister with the gloves. It's the same source material.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
I could write a movie and just use the characters from now and then.
For sure. Yes, starring Rosie O'Donnell.
And
Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And Thora Birch, which I recently had to IMDb because I was like, hey, Thora Birch, what's up?
Is she doing anything anymore?
You know, I don't know. I saw Hocus Pocus over the weekend. Not such a good one. Not a good one. I'm sorry. I know your eyes are burning a hole
Wait,
in my head right
you
now.
You finally saw Hocus Pocus and you don't like it.
I was a little drunk. I don't know. So I have to go back and watch it sober.
Okay.
Also, my friend was talking through it the whole time.
Oh,
so
okay. No. Try again. Yeah. Try again.
Okay.
Try again. Yeah. Because SJP is in it. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes, and Thora Birch. And now Thora and then, Birch. It all ties together.
Bette Midler.
Kevin Bacon's gonna walk in here in just a second.
So good.
But those are the two things on Netflix that I think everybody needs to watch.
And I have one for you as well. Okay, this is bizarre, but it's the spooky season, so just like go with it and lean into it. If you're bad with names,
okay,
watch Murder, She Wrote.
Mm-hmm.
There's no direct correlation, except I was terrible with names. And then I watched Murder, She Wrote, starring Angela Lansbury from like the 80s.
So lovely. The best teacup ever.
So great. The show is so good. It's like the original, one of the original, like, there's a murder in this town every week, but yet the population never goes down, but yet everyone is dying in this town. And she's so good with names in the show. She's always like, oh, I remember you, Thomas Wardry. We met 7 years ago. Ever since I started watching that show, I've become really good with names.
Well, what do they say? You look at the person and you shake their hand and say their name back to them.
Yes.
Hello, so-and-so.
Yes.
So good to meet you.
Yes, but it's also been like their names have just been sticking in my head more. Like I've been meeting a lot of new people this week and I remember all of their names except one. And I the only thing I've been doing new is watching Murder, She Wrote. So I connect those lines. So if you are bad with names, watch some Murder, She Wrote and see if it works.
Where are you watching Murder, She Wrote? Because I'm pretty sure that there's no Hulu for senior citizens.
I have... Shut up.
I'm sorry.
I have Sling TV.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Also not an ad, but yeah. I got it for the Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's launching so soon.
I know it's launching so soon,
my Kathleen. New York came out. I can't wait for the Hallmark movies this winter.
So if you bad with names, watch Murder, She Wrote. Let me know.
Can I tell you a fun fact about Murder, She Wrote?
Yes, and then we have to wrap.
The longest end to a podcast ever. Angela Lansbury had a son with addiction problems, so she put him on an airplane and flew him to Ireland and dried him out herself in a remote cabin in Ireland. I know.
She's the best mom ever.
She just has that, like, that lovely bedside manner that you know she's sweet.
Oh.
Unless somebody listening to this actually knows her and she's got a mouth like a trucker.
Maybe she's a monster.
She stomps on everything that she passes.
Oh. I found out that my new landlady was an actress whose name started with an A, and I was immediately like, I hope it's Angela Lansbury.
Oh.
It's not, but she's equally as lovely. Okay.
We should wrap this up.
We love you so much. Thank you, everyone who submitted your stories. We are going to do another episode with these. So if you submitted and you didn't hear yours, if you got a star from Kathleen, then we will read yours.
We've got a bunch here. Brittany, yeah. Christina, Alicia, there's a lot more.
But in the meantime, make sure to follow us on our socials. I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on everything else.
And I am Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
And then follow the podcast at Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On the Facebooks, facebook.com/Acquired Taste Podcast, or just search Acquired Taste Podcast. You'll find the secret Facebook group too. They are wonderful, good people.
And you can email us at AcquiredTastePodcast.com. Anything?
AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
Oh my goodness. Wait, Erase. And acquiretastepodcast@gmail.com. Listen, in the middle of the night, you have some thoughts, mm-hmm. even if it's just one or two words, email us.
I'm having some thoughts.
About the dead people in that house.
And if our P.O. Box serves you, we have one. It's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
To sign out, I have one.
Wait, can we do two more things?
Two more things. Quick. Okay, you go.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
I haven't breathed in so long.
It's been forever. If you can, it would be really, really helpful. Please go to iTunes or wherever you listen, rate, review, and subscribe. It really is helpful. It helps push us up further so more people can find us. Mm-hmm. That is profoundly helpful.
Yes. And can we practice our scary noises as a sign off?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're in a place right now where you might be embarrassed... If deadly, ghoulishly bad noises come from your speakers,
yeah.
Turn the volume down right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay. Wait, no, that was horrible.
That was good. Reset. That was good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How was that? Okay, do you do it?
Did you have pad thai for lunch?
A little bit. And a little for dinner.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
That's how my fire breathing sounds in yoga. We love you very much. Thank you for listening.